Hi, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz. Welcome to episode number 34 of the InnovaBuzz podcast, designed to help smart businesses with an interest in innovation become even more innovative. In this episode, my guest is Anne-Marie Cross, who is a business mentor and a communication strategist, as well as host of the Women in Leadership podcast. Anne-Marie helps women entrepreneurs and women executives design and launch powerful online and offline marketing strategies so that they can get noticed, get hired, and get paid what they're worth. Anne-Marie is very passionate about helping people succeed and develop the positive mindset that is critical to their success. We talk a lot about that on today's episode of the podcast, and we also talk about scaling a business and the importance of having systems and processes in place and a great team around you, including mentors, coaches, and accountability partners. So without further ado, let's get into the Innovation Hive and get the buzz from Anne-Marie Cross.
This is the InnovaBuzz podcast, helping smart businesses be even more innovative.
Hi, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and I'm really excited to have here with me on today's episode of the InnovaBuzz podcast from very close to where I am actually, from Melbourne in Australia, Anne-Marie Cross, who is a business mentor and a communication strategist. So welcome to the podcast, Anne-Marie.
Thank you very much. Great to be here.
It's a privilege to have you here. Now, you're here as a result of Cara Ronan suggesting that we invite you, so a big shout out to Cara.
Hi, thanks, Cara.
Now, Anne-Marie, I did some research on your background, and it looks like you help women entrepreneurs and women executives design and launch powerful online and offline marketing strategies, and you say so that they can finally get noticed and hired and paid what they're worth. So sounds like you're really passionate about that, and also there's a lot of great information on your website. Anne-Marie's also a host of the Ambitious Entrepreneur Show and the Purposeful Leadership Podcast.
Yes, and recently Women in Leadership Podcast. I love podcasting.
Okay, so there's another one there that I missed.
Just recent, Jürgen, so that's all right, beginning of this year.
Okay. All right, well, that's great. Well, before we talk about podcasting and inspiring marketing for women and all the other things that you're up to, because there's a lot of stuff on your website, let's get started on your background and find out way back when you were a young child, and probably wasn't that long ago, what you wanted to be when you grew up.
Well, I came from a history of teachers, and so when I was growing up, that's what I thought I wanted to be. Yet, an accident around the age of 14, 15, I fell off my horse and had a serious concussion, so I was unable to go back to school. I did go back to school kind of the next couple of days after staying home for a couple of days, and didn't realise that the concussion really caused, you know, memory loss and so forth. So for 6 months, had to go back to the hospital and get therapy treatment. So my kind of career took quite a different turn from that. But overall, I've come full circle and now training and supporting entrepreneurs and executives. So,
okay, and what was the journey? So your teaching ambition kind of got derailed a bit. So what was the journey from there then?
Did. Well, you know, after kind of not being able to go back to school, my parents said, well, why don't you go to night school, get a job and see what the future holds. And I swore when I was at school that I'd never work in an office. But that was one of the first jobs I got. And I loved it because I was introduced to computers, something that was really quite new. And that those were the days where the internet had not yet been developed, and we were using these big floppy, I think it was 5 3/4 inch discs, you know, floppy disks. This was way back when PCs were just the ant's pants. Now you look at them and they're, oh goodness, many ancient. But anyway, so I started doing that for several years, and then when I started a family, that was back in New Zealand, and then I met my now husband, that was 20 well, gosh, it's 27 years ago. So it's not, it is quite some time ago, Jürgen, not as a child. But anyway, after leaving the workforce and having children, I thought, wow, I love motherhood, yet I need to get, you know, get my hands into something. So I went back to night school and started studying and continuing my accounting degree, but realized that figures were just not doing it for me anymore. Mm. I started studying into human resources. And that led me into team development, leadership, and then also career development. And, you know, through the process of doing all of that training and learning, for me, it also enabled me to answer that question, would I have chosen this career path, i.e. working in an office and now looking more in human resources and careers, had I actually followed my dreams, so to speak? And the answer for me was absolutely yes. You know, a lot of self-awareness and self-exploration and self-development, and, you know, did a full circle. And through those studies, being able to implement that within my business and consultancy at that stage was a career consultant. So, I can say I kind of went through the journey in what a lot of my clients then in the career industry were struggling with. Is this my dream job? You know, what am I here to do? So, and I find that that's also true with the women entrepreneurs that I work with, who may for one reason find themselves, you know, now working in their own consultancy or coaching practice and really wanting to identify what's my purpose, what's my passion, what's my mission.
Yeah, yeah. So did you start your own business after you decided to go back to work post-motherhood?
Yes, okay. Yes. Never. I was offered a very lucrative to come back to the workplace for a very lucrative consulting job, but I decided that I was going to stay at home and open up my own business, and that's what I did. It was very part-time juggling, you know, food and being at home in business, but I really loved it. I really loved it. I'd never go back to full-time work. Working for someone else, I should say. It's full-time work as entrepreneurship. You often work longer hours than you ever did.
Exactly.
It's different, isn't it? We're passionate about it.
Exactly. It's the passion and also the freedom to, as you say, sort of balance the different demands. So I know a lot of women that take time off to have families and take time off when their children are young, and when they decide that they want to go back and do some work, that... you know, working for themselves or working as an entrepreneur, self-employed entrepreneur out of home gives them that balance.
Absolutely.
So obviously going through that journey, then you decided there was a market there for helping that kind of business person or business woman to be successful.
Yeah, you know, a lot of my clients who were working for a company, I was, you know, helping in the career, finding a job that they loved, and then also going for promotion. So that's around interviewing, negotiating salaries and those sorts of things. Many of those women recognized that they weren't being paid what they were worth. And they said to me, you know, we don't want to start up our own consultancy. However, doing that, of course, there was a whole myriad of unanswered questions, such as how are we going to market ourselves? How are we going to have a conversation with a prospective client? So my business evolved with the needs of my clients. They then came back to me and said, well, you're marketing yourself really well. Can you show us? Can you teach us? And that's how I then expanded into to supporting them in their consultancies and coaching practices.
Okay, that's great. And it's good. Well, it's always good when somebody's gone on the journey themselves and then shares their learnings with other people rather than sharing textbook learnings, as I put it.
Yeah, and also I think too, what was looking back in hindsight and the insights was really listening out to what your customers are saying. And if you get asked, you know, if there's a common theme there and you get asked a lot by a number of different clients, there may very well be an opportunity to expand your service offering. Which is what
I'm Yeah, listening to your customer. That's not rocket science, is it? But
How often, and I've done this myself, you create something, you think, this is going to be better than sliced bread. You launch it, yes. And there's crickets.
That's right, yeah. And I see it over and over again, see people doing it. I mean, I fall into the trap myself, although I'm pleased to say that I've got something happening at the moment which is nowhere near ready, but I've already got customers. So
that's the greatest place, isn't it?
Yeah. So a lot of the work you do is around mindset. Mm-hmm. And so I noticed when I first started looking at some of the information about you on the web, there was things around human resources and leadership and processes. And then I dug a little bit deeper and I realized that, you know, your message is more about mindset, and you can have all these things, but mindset is really important. So can you kind of talk about that a little bit?
Absolutely. I think mindset, which is really what we think, you know, and our beliefs and our values, really underpin, strengthen, if you will, what we do. And in some instances, unfortunately, can weaken what we do. And what I mean by that is I noticed that as I was supporting women and creating their message, and a lot of the time the message could be their bio, could be how they wrote about themselves, or if they were speaking, creating their signature talk and getting out there and speaking their message, didn't really step in powerfully to own that message. A lot was around self-confidence. Oh, there's no way that I can say this and that, because, you know, they devalued what they had to offer. And until they started to see the impact that their expertise, their skills, their strengths had for their clients, and really recognizing that, hang on a second, I do have incredible value to give, to offer, to share, and starting to shift that mindset, they continued to struggle. Similarly, when they were having conversations with prospective clients, it was like, wow, I couldn't charge that much. Yet providing a service could enable their client to double, triple their salary package or sales or whatever. And it was really helping them take a step back and recognizing the true value that they offered. So that was all based on mindset. So around their self-esteem, their self-worth, their self-value, which really impacted their self-confidence, all around mindset.
Yeah. Now, obviously, because of how you've positioned yourself and your audience, being women entrepreneurs, you've kind of targeted that message there. But I think... is it an Australian thing that we don't like to promote our strengths, or we don't like to talk about our strengths? It's we kind of sit back and are more humble than that. Mm-hmm. And I find the frustrating thing about that in the entrepreneurial space is it undervalues things people do. And so there's an expectation out there that, for example, let's say websites, because that's the game I play, people think that, you know, a website shouldn't really cost much because there's not much to it, and there's a lot of people out there offering to do it for a very low value, and they're essentially undervaluing what contribution they're making to that business.
Mm-hmm. Look, I absolutely agree with the Australian market. There's something about us and about, you know, our sense of character. Having said that, you know, I've interviewed many men and women overseas and in the US primarily, and they struggle with self-value as well. What I find here in Australia, though, that is quite different is we have more skepticism. We are a lot, you know, very skeptical. And in fact, many years ago, and I remember going back, goodness, I think 2008 was when I started my first podcast. Prior to that, a couple of years, you know, even earlier to that, I was and met a few of my colleagues were already on social media and Twitter, and you would speak to a lot of business owners and they would say, social media, that is just a waste of time, you know. And now here we are 2016, and if you're not on social media, well, look, no one, who knows about you, kind of thing. So I think Australians tend to be a little bit more skeptical in that way, and certainly we have the tall poppy syndrome. I think that's something that we really unfortunately can say, you know, don't stand up out too high above your competitors or about out in the crowd. You could get your head sort of chopped off, you know, that tall syndrome. And I think that's unfortunate. But, you know, if someone's listening and they have been through a situation where they've had critics or they've had, you know, naysayers, just rise above that. You've got a message to share. You've got a service or a product to offer your ideal client who is struggling. And if they don't hear about you, they don't have that solution or that option. And a lot of times those people are poo-pooing and you know, naysaying. They're just envious, you know. So continue the hard work that you're doing.
Yeah, yeah, I like that. And also what you said earlier about being really clear about your own value and skills and what you can bring to the table. And then I can't remember who this was, but there was somebody that shared with me, you know, if you're aware of your own skills and the things that you know that you can help other people with, what right have you got to actually not share that with, you know, with the people that you can help?
You know, I heard a beautiful story once, and I share that this often. I mean, if you were sitting or standing on a boat and someone was in the water and they were scrambling, they were drowning, you would throw them a lifeline. So similarly, if your client is struggling with a problem or a real challenge, you've got an answer. Why wouldn't you throw out a lifeline? Now, it's up to them whether they want to choose to take hold of that lifeline or not. At least you've given them that opportunity. And I think the way in which we talk about our products or our services and the bottom line value, what is it that your ideal client is going to walk away with? You know, for websites, it's increased awareness, it's increased sales and revenue and, you know, maybe opportunities to speak, whatever it might be. Now, sure, they can get something cheap and nasty, but is it going to be created to consistently get a flow of ideal clients who are going to pay them what they're worth? I seriously doubt it. And that's the value that you bring. So, you know, you need to really be comfortable in having a conversation around what is it that your ideal client is really looking for. I'm talking bottom line results. And if you create your message around that and tapping into the emotion of their struggles and where they're stuck, that is when you attract your ideal clients who really will value you at the end of the day. So the conversation is, you know, far more beneficial for you and the outcome for the client to say yes to your services.
Yeah, well, that's fabulous advice. And I might even steal some of that text, actually. I was sort of smiling when I heard you say that, because it's very aligned with our message of, you know, building a product that actually delivers value to the customer in the form of a return in business.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. All right. So in terms of your business, what are the key components of the business? Because, you know, clearly you're consulting to women entrepreneurs, you're running, well, you've co-hosting one podcast and hosting two others. You've got speaking engagements, and there's other activities going on as well. So what's kind of the focus of the business?
Well, for me, I've done a little bit of refocusing. And so future, what that holds for us is, for me, is really focusing on women in leadership. And this is women in leadership in their own business, or even women in leadership such as executives within the corporate space. And that's all around what we've spoken about, really standing out and getting noticed and getting paid what they're worth. Also for me is doing more workshops. So face-to-face, I've done it backwards. I started many, many years ago doing virtual, working with clients, you know, via Skype and a lot of those technologies, which were very new. And so for me, I had an international marketplace. And now for me, it's, you know what, I want to start doing the face-to-face, holding in-person workshops with clients. So, you know, just recently, actually last week, had a getting over the fear of public speaking, because to communicate your brand, one of the great ways is to get out in front of a large audience of your clients. And believe it or not, so many people are fearful of that, which is an area that I love to help them shift and again, transform their mindset, that it isn't so scary. It's actually a lot of fun. So it's around public speaking. It's around really defining their message. So whether it be on paper to their bio, online bio, right through to their signature talk, or even for many entrepreneurs now, they're recognizing the incredible value of either having their own podcast like you have or being interviewed on podcasts. And that can be a little bit scary too. You know, how do I interview? How do I position myself? So it's really helping them refine their message so that they really can build their awareness and with their ideal client. So that's really what I'm focusing on now.
Okay, that's exciting stuff. And again, it comes back to what we were talking about earlier in terms of mindset, doesn't it? Because if you get up in front of a big audience and you treat it as a conversation and you talk about the things that you've actually got value to add to people, then having that mindset will make it a hell of a lot less scary. Mm-hmm. And I remember I remember one of the first ones I did, and I was a student at the time, and I'd scripted this talk. It was a scientific talk, and I'd scripted the thing word for word, and I had the notes in front of me on the thing. But I'd done the work to actually memorize the text, but the thing was, with that script there, that was actually a burden, because I got about 80% of the way through the talk using slides, because it was all scientific formulae in that I was talking about. At about the 80% mark, my mind went blank and I couldn't remember what was next. And of course, I hadn't been turning the pages on my text. So then I had to spend a few minutes or a few seconds turning the pages, trying to figure out where I actually was up to in my talk, and then pick up the thread, which, you know, when you think about it, and I know, of course, that's totally ridiculous, because nobody else knew the text of my talk. And if I had have kept talking as long as it made sense, nobody would have known that I'd kind of gone off track there.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it really is all about value. And I don't know if you've seen, it was either a podcast or a video that Seth Godin put on recently. And the gist of it was that to do a speech or a presentation in front of an audience is actually a gift that you're giving them. And, you know, you shouldn't be withholding that gift. You should actually be out there and
it's true. It
giving
is,
that.
Mm. Yeah, for sure. And, you know, once a couple of people got up and through the last workshop, they realized just how much they loved holding the microphone. We did some techniques. So two women said, you know what, over the weekend, we're going to go out and buy a microphone and just walk around the office. You know, once you kind of you tap into that confidence, that inner confidence, you can use that then. And often it is recognizing, you know what, I don't suck. I can actually speak my message. And then it's about engaging with your audience.
Mm.
Yeah, so true.
That's right. Coming back to what you said right near the beginning, listening to your customers and getting a sense of what they're expecting, and when you're presenting or speaking, that's key as well.
Yes, for sure.
Okay, so in your business then, what do you consider to be the biggest challenges right now?
I think time. Time is the biggest challenge. I tell you why. I love technology, love marketing, and when I get to put both, you know, blend both of those, I can really geek out. But you would know, being in your industry and in websites, there are so many different tools and technologies that are launching every day. You really have to keep focused, don't you? So for some of the challenges has been, you know, saying no to certain technologies that I'd love to dive into and get my hands on, and to really ensure that the foundations are in place so that when I finally do start to use some of those technologies in my business, I'm communicating a consistent on-brand message. Because so often we can use a tool, we can jump, you know, online or video, whatever it might be, and then we realize, oh, that's not really on-brand. And so we can do damage, unfortunately, and tarnish our reputation. So we need to be very mindful. And so for me, it's just holding back, making sure everything's in place before I launch into, and that is online video and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's really good advice, keeping focus. And I guess it's kind of the curse of the entrepreneur, isn't it? The shiny object syndrome.
Yes.
Okay, so what's the most innovative thing you do in your business?
Well, you know, for me, I think it is really, it's keeping your finger on the pulse and aligned focus. So in other words, if it's something that's going to enhance and add to what I'm already doing, then it you know, is aligned and it's going to support me in achieving my goals, then I will spend more time into it. And, you know, sometimes it's getting back to the basics. Just last weekend, my husband and I, we love going camping. And, you know, I'll bring my iPad with me and I'll do some reading. And because I'm away from my normal day-to-day environment, I find that that's when my creativity can really click in.
Mm.
And, you know, I was able to map out a new marketing strategy that I'm going to be launching in May, June. And so, yeah, it's just getting back to basics sometimes. And that is allowing the thought process, your creativity to flow in whatever environment, you know, it will, you know, allow that you to do that.
Yeah, that's great advice. And I think a lot of people forget about just taking some time out, whether that, you know, be camping, or for me, it's kind of going out on the bicycle and going for a long bike rides or photography. So I'm a keen photographer, but I find exactly the same experience. If you can kind of switch off and focus on those other areas, and then all of a sudden you've got ideas and thoughts coming in your mind, and you can start to map something out that's about the business and away from the day-to-day pressures. And I think a lot of people actually forget to take that time.
It's imperative, I think. And it's interesting that you say that you're an avid photographer, something that I have just recently stumbled into. So yeah, when I'm camping, I'm out there behind the, you know, the camera, trying out some new lenses and techniques and everything. And it's incredible. And I now use a lot of those photographs in my business. I love to capture, it's all storytelling, isn't it? Marketing, storytelling, really connecting with your ideal clients. And so for me, I'll capture an image and then I'll think of, I'll either borrow someone else's inspirational or motivational quotation and I'll add that, those words to that image and share it. And so, yeah, kind of blending what I love to do, photography. I'm only an amateur though, still learning. within my business. And it's something that I really enjoy doing.
All right. So if you could wave a magic wand then and fix one thing in the business today, what would that be?
I think for me, I would love to find someone with similar skills, you know, duplicate yourself. Mm-hmm. And then, but then in all seriousness, it's really taking a step back and really defining team for me. That's really where I'm looking for expanding my team, so that there are certain things that I don't necessarily need to do myself. I'll create processes and systems in place so that team can go and implement that for me. Because, you know, as entrepreneurs, as business owners, as we continue to grow, there's no way we can handle everything. And I recognize that. And so sometimes it's having things in place before you need them. So that's where I'm at in my business at the moment, and is to surround myself with some key team members so that I can then continue to do what I love doing.
Yeah, and that's always a big step for every entrepreneur, because letting go of things is hard.
Yes, absolutely. And I've had to make a couple of decisions. For instance, you know, the Ambitious Entrepreneur show you mentioned and the Purposeful Leadership show, loved both of those shows, yet I recognise there is only so many hours in the day. And I have made a decision that moving forward, I'm just committing to Women in Leadership podcast. And it was really a difficult decision, because Ambitious Entrepreneur show has been for many, many years and has been mentioned in many articles, you know, alongside some of the, who I would call the great podcasters. So to say goodbye to that was quite difficult, but I recognise it is so important and imperative to allow myself space to continue to grow my business.
Yeah, that's right. And also looking at, you mentioned processes and having those in place, and I guess the that's something that I'm really passionate about getting, you know, good processes in place for my business. But I talk to a lot of people about it, you know, and how that then frees you up to actually be able to get somebody else to do something to the standard that you would do yourself.
Yes.
And then be free to go and do something else.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's critical to growth, as you've said.
It certainly is.
All right, well, this has been really great. I sort of almost could have scripted some of this stuff myself. I think it's time to move on to the buzz, which is our innovation round, and it's designed to help our audience, who are primarily leaders in their field and innovators, with some tips from your experience. And so there's a series of five questions that hopefully we'll get some really insightful answers from you that's going to inspire people to go out and take action and be awesome.
Yes. Fantastic. Fire away.
Okay. So what's the number one thing you think anyone needs to do to be more innovative?
I think get rid of the negative mindset, and that includes your own and other people's. So if you've got an idea or something's brewing and yet you're in a community of naysayers and critics and skeptics, that innovation and creativity is not going to bubble forth. And so you're not going to really give birth to that idea or that next big thing that's going to be fantastic. So get rid of negative mindset and negative voices around you as well.
Yeah, that's great. I love it. There's a quote, and I can't remember who this is attributed to or if it's indeed sort of goes back into hearsay, and it goes something like, those of you that say it can't be done should get out of the way of those of us that are going to go and do it, or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Watch us.
Yeah. All right. So what's the best thing you've done to develop new ideas?
I think what we spoke about earlier was giving yourself space to be able to think creatively. Mm. So often, if I'm thinking of a new idea, I'll remove myself from the normal day-to-day area where I do my business and go into another space. To create a product or an idea, particularly if it's going to be for clients and you want to sell it, you really do need to step into the mindset of your client as you're developing. Say, for instance, if you're a coach or a consultant with a service space, what are the steps? What's the first step that your ideal client needs to know? Map it out. What's the second step? What's the third step? Because quite often, I think, as business owners, we assume that this is going to be fantastic for clients, but if you don't get into the mindset of where your ideal client is, using the words and the phrases that they use and the steps that you know is going to be supported, you're going to launch something and it's just not going to sell. So really get into a space that allows you to be creative and step into the mindset of your client as you're developing it, so that you know that at the end of the creation, when you launch it, that your ideal client is really going to take note. And this whole process may involve going back to clients or a client group and saying, here's what I've developed, what do you think, what can I change, what needs to be different. Get them involved in the creation process too if you can.
Yeah, that's great advice. And I like a lot about that. My business coach, she says that, you should have two rooms in your work area. One of them's the engine room, if you like, and the other one's the creativity room. So if you're, if you're looking to do some planning or developing a new business idea, that you go back into the creativity room, which is the physical space analogy that you talked about.
Yes,
and have you
heard of the Disney technique?
Yes, I think that's what it's based on.
Yeah, well, it's the innovator, the visionary. Then it's the realist. Okay, so what do we need to know to really get this going? And then of course sitting in the mindset of the critic. And when you go through each of those three processes over and over till the critic goes, I think that will work, actually, then you've kind of ironed out some of those issues, and you don't end up with a product that's going to sit in the factory stagnant, not selling.
Yeah. All right. So what's your favorite tool or system for basically making you more productive and allowing you that space to innovate?
I love technology, but I'll always, for innovation, go back to pen and paper. There is something about getting your thoughts through your hand onto paper and mind mapping, and that just really works for me. And I'll often go to even events, and when I'll write down in my notebook, rather than typing, because there's just something about those notes that I can go back to that stimulates, that's right, that's what I was thinking about. So, yeah, pen and paper, good old, fashioned pen and paper certainly helps. And productivity, that is where I do like to go back and use technology, such as online calendars and online to-do lists to really keep me focused, scheduling out things in my online calendar so that I know exactly what I need to be working on, the most important tasks, so that I'm proactive rather than reactive in my business.
That's great advice. So what's the best way then to keep a project or a client on track?
I think that a product or a program that one of my colleagues, we joint venture, I do a lot of coaching for her clients, she uses Basecamp. I don't know if you've used that.
I haven't used it personally, but I am familiar with it sort of from a conceptual thing, and a lot of people I know use it. So, yeah.
Yeah, you can collaborate with people on a project. You can upload files, documents, all of that from, you know, in that one central area, which is fabulous because if you're working with a lot of different clients and you've got a lot of different documents and files that you need to share, it's all up there and accessible by everybody who's involved in the project.
Yeah, there's quite a number of these project management tools that are around now, and they are really awesome.
Yes.
In that sense, in terms of, you know, having everything available for everybody that's working, and even if you've got remote teams.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think with Basecamp, the investment level's not that high. So obviously there's certain plans that you can go on to, because I know that there's some online productivity tools which are very, very, you know, costly. So Basecamp's certainly one to check out.
Okay. Well, that's good. We'll post a link to that underneath the show notes, as well as all the other things that we've spoken about. So what's the number one thing you think anyone could do to differentiate themselves?
Give themselves permission to show up as themselves. What am I doing that? You can provide a similar service to someone else, yet it's often not the service, but rather the experience that you create doing that service, offering that service. So there's things about you, strengths, characteristics, all of those the different areas that makes you uniquely who you are. It could be a, you know, a trait, but that trait is something that your clients will resonate with, your ideal client. And I think so many of us tend to try and look at what are other people doing. I'm going to try and do this, or I'm that person's like that. I'm going to try and be like them. You know what? That is inauthentic. Give yourself permission. Do some self, you know, exploring. Absolutely. Get really clear on who you are and what does make you unique. When you start weaving that throughout all of your communications, online, offline, how you show up, that is what is going to distinguish you. And that's what people are going to talk about. It's the experience that you create. And that's through being you.
That's great advice. And, there's a few people on this podcast have actually said be yourself as the answer to that question, but not as eloquently as that. I guess at the end of the day, we're different to everybody else because it's me, and that's different to you, and you're different to everybody else as well. So where the challenge for everybody is to then understand, you know, how do you bring that into the value that you add to your customer?
Well, that's an area that I can and quite confidently say that's the expertise that I bring. And often it's because we don't recognize those nuances or those strengths. We don't recognize them. Or in some instances, some people that I've heard actually try and lessen them. Like someone might have a sense of humor. And you know, if you go into an environment and then people feel inspired and empowered just through you being you, that is something that's really quite unique. So you need to make sure that all your touch points have humor or something inspirational, you know, that kind of thing. For me, my core value in who I am is to inspire hope and possibility and greatness in others. And so often if someone is either reading an article or reading a quote or listening to a podcast, they go away thinking, oh, I feel really inspired. That is, you know, my intention. So if someone doesn't feel inspired after listening or reading an article or just attending a workshop, then I'm off brand and I've got to think, okay, so what touch points, what experience did I not deliver? And it's just having to be mindful. And often, yes, it does take someone that's not you, because, you know, it's just like when you're so close to something, you don't recognize that incredible uniqueness. And it may even be a blend of experience that you bring. For instance, you mentioned science. So as an instance that you were delivering a talk. So you might be someone that really loves analytics. I'm just, you know, it may not be the truth, but
so it is actually. Yeah.
Well, you think of websites, what might make you really different is your ability to be able to not only capture analytics for clients, but be able to share it with them, explain it to them in layman's terms so that clients can understand what's working, what's not working, and what needs to be changed, you know. So again, it's looking at what do I do differently? What can I bring? Could it be previous experience? Could it be just how I show up? You know, how I communicate that really is the difference between me and everyone else. Once you capture that, I call that your inner brilliance, your essence, then that is when you take your message and your marketing and your communication and just who you are to another level. And it doesn't matter who says, anybody says anything about you, when you stand up for what I call your stand for, and that is the why you are doing what you are doing, all of the people who are your critics, they don't matter. Because the people who do matter are the ones that are listening to you, that are being inspired, that are saying, yes, I want to work with you. And that's who you are here to support. And that's who, you know, who you really want to continue to be mindful that you are creating content and offering services that really make an impact in their lives and business.
Mm. Oh, that's great advice. And I feel like I'm getting a masterclass here. So it's really good.
Do you feel inspired?
Oh, absolutely. I always feel inspired doing this podcast. So what's the future then for you and for your business?
Well, I kind of hinted to it earlier, was that I really wanted to start doing some face-to-face. The reason being is that I'm finding that while I love technology and a lot of the, you know, online video, you can really impact and inspire and empower people, there's something about in-person that really can take it to, you know, to the next level. So for me, I've recognized that so many of us, and this can be men too, but there's something about that self-confidence that there's sometimes doubt, you know, self-criticism. So for me, I really want to continue to bring trainings and workshops that's really going to support people in what I call breaking that confidence barrier. And so that they really can step into their greatness and continue to do the work that they're here to do, whatever that may be. And so they'll be doing workshops and also online too. In fact, I've got a 30-day challenge, which it's going to come up in June, break the confidence barrier. And so keep an eye out for that, because that'll certainly support people in really building their confidence so that they can really take their business to the next level.
Okay, well, that sounds really exciting. So we'll certainly, we'll have a link to your website and if that comes up. In fact, if you've got a URL for that, we'll post a link to that as well.
Right.
This has been really fascinating, Anne-Marie. So before we finish up, what's the number one piece of advice you'd give to any business owner who wants to be a leader in innovation and a leader in their field?
And this is something that I have done all the way throughout my business and have recognized that it's enabled me to take my business forward in leaps and bounds, and that is hiring a mentor or a coach, someone who's an accountability partner for you, but also is going to stretch you and going to support you in taking your business to the next level. So many of us think, oh, I can do it myself. But you know what? Again, there are certain mindsets and barriers and self-beliefs that are holding us back. So having a mentor, an accountability partner, a coach there on your team is certainly something that I think can be incredible, the incredible impact that you need. So definitely don't struggle on your own. Get a mentor, get a coach.
That is great advice. And I've actually got two people that that are kind of mentors and coaches, and their accountability partners, and they'll call me out when I'm not doing something that I should be doing, or when I'm off track. And it really is, it's priceless.
It is. It is.
All right. Well, this has been really fascinating. So where can people reach out to you and say thank you, Anne-Marie?
Now, go to my website. All of the different social media presences are from there too. And the main website is annemariecross.com. You'll probably have a link on the website.
We'll put that there, yep.
You know, if you've got a question, happy to answer that and for people to reach out to me from there.
Yeah. So we'll put a link to that as well as the podcast, and I'll find that other podcast that I missed. So people can listen to some other interviews, because certainly there's a lot of fascinating stuff there, and there's some free downloads, a lot of information on your website, which is really great. So finally then, who would you like to see me interview on a future InnovaBuzz podcast?
Now, this is a guy from the US, and it's someone, in fact, he's the only person at the moment that I continue just to devour information from, because he's right on the cutting edge with a lot of with innovative social media tools. And you've probably heard of him. Gary Vaynerchuk. Have you heard of Gary
Vee? Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
Look, if you get him on the show, that would be fantastic. I mean, he's a little bit edgy sometimes.
Yeah. I was just going to say that would be a tiger by the tail, I think. Yeah, but it could be fun.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah. The insights and innovation that just comes out of, his mind is just fascinating.
It is, yeah. So he's got a podcast there, and I think it's Ask Gary Vee.
Yes. A show, and also The Daily Vee, which is really interesting.
Okay,
and
yeah.
His YouTube channel, he also posts his keynotes as well. You can really learn a lot from tapping into his knowledge and his wisdom. And he's a really great guy too.
Yeah, okay. Well, Gary, keep an eye on your inbox, and we'll come and invite you to the InnovaBuzz podcast, courtesy of Anne-Marie Cross. All right, Anne-Marie, thank you so much for sharing your time and your insights with us today. It's been fascinating. I've learned a lot. As I say, it feels as though I've had a bit of a masterclass here, and I hope that the audience gains a lot from this interview as well. So I wish you all the best for the future. Maybe we can catch up sometime up in Melbourne. We're not that far apart, but certainly let's keep in touch.
We will, certainly. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure and honour.
Thank you. Well, I hope you enjoyed meeting Anne-Marie as much as I enjoyed speaking with her. There is a lot of really useful information in this interview, focused very much on mindset and systems and processes. I've certainly learnt a lot, and I hope you have too. All the show notes for this episode will be at innovabiz.com.au/Anne-Marie Cross. That is AnneMarieCross. All lowercase, all one word, no funny hieroglyphics. innovabiz.com.au/Anne-Marie Cross. That will have all of the links and everything that we spoke about in today's episode. Anne-Marie suggested I interview Gary Vaynerchuk, author of Jab, Jab, Right Hook and host of the Ask Gary Vee show, on a future InnovaBuzz podcast. Gary would certainly be well known to most of our audience, and he's a really influential person in the internet marketing space. So Gary, keep an eye on your inbox. I don't know how much time you spend in your inbox, but we will certainly be coming to send you an invitation from me for the InnovaBuzz podcast, courtesy of Anne-Marie Cross. Thank you to my audience for listening to this podcast. This is why we do it. We'd love you to review this podcast, because the feedback and reviews not only help us get found, but also help us to improve. So you can go over to iTunes or Stitcher and review us there. And while you're there, please subscribe so that you'll never miss another episode. Until next time, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz. Remember, if you don't innovate, you stagnate. So think big, be adventurous, and keep innovating.